Good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to that of Ollie's. As I said, my name's Tom. I'm one of the pastors here at Kensington. It's lovely to see you all here this morning. The 2011 census revealed that in Easton, 52.5% of people are white British. 8.2% are other white. Presumably that's European. 2.8% Indian. 7% Pakistani, 1.8% Bangladeshi, 5.4% Black African, 6.2% Black Caribbean, 4.3% other black, 0.5% Arab, 0.5% Chinese. 36.1% of Easterners call themselves Christian. 0.9% call themselves Buddhist, 0.7% Hindu, 15% Muslim, 1.5% Sikh, and 34.8% say they have no religion. So, is Christianity only for some Africans and a few British, a few Indians and a few Caribbeans? You know, the misguided ones, the ones who are still living in the past, who need a crutch to support themselves through life's struggles. Fewer and fewer people in the UK believe in Jesus and are call themselves Christians. Churches are closing every year. They're being turned into shopping centres, indoor climbing walls, Hindu temples, Muslim mosques. Is Christianity only for a few people? Well, let me phrase it a different way. Is the Christian God interested in you or me? Or maybe he wants a certain kind of person. Maybe he wants rich people or clever people or posh people or good people or people who give food to the poor or people who give large sums of money to good causes. Are those the kinds of people that the Christian God wants, that he's interested in? What do you think? Well, that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. I'm going to give a 20-minute talk. I'm going to explain something from the Bible, because ultimately it doesn't matter what I believe, what my story is. It's just one story of many. Why should you believe what I believe? But we Christians believe that what is in the Bible is God's story. And we want to explain what God wants. So, keep your Bibles open. It's on page 1191. And we're going to look at a letter that was written a couple of thousand years ago by a guy called Paul. So look at chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul. And he's writing to a younger guy called Timothy. Timothy's gone to a church in Ephesus, that's a city in modern-day Turkey, to sort out a few problems. One of those problems is that there were some Christian teachers, at least they called themselves Christians, teachers, who were teaching that this new teaching, this Christianity, was only for a few special people. It was a special thing for a few special people. They were saying things like this: don't worry about telling other people about this Jesus. Let's just keep this to ourselves, shall we? And so Paul writes to Timothy, and let's see what he says in chapter 2. That's where you see the big number 2 towards the bottom of the page. And he writes, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. As I'm reading this, why don't you count how many times Paul writes the word all? I think he's making a point, isn't he? So, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 4 times. We should pray, that's Christians, should pray for all people because God wants all people to be saved. That's what Paul's saying. Pray for all people because God wants all people to be saved. But hang on, you say, saved? I didn't ask to be saved. I don't need to be saved. Go and tell someone else who's asking for this, who wants this. Okay. I don't know if you've been following the situation in the Ukraine. Fighting started in April 2014 between the Russian rebels and the Ukrainian forces. And a large proportion of the east of Ukraine are ethnically Russian and think of themselves as Russian and would like to be part of Russia. And they see this as their chance. They're supported by Russian government and army. They get equipment and arms. And since April 2014, over 5,000 people have been killed. Almost a million have been internally displaced within Ukraine, many of those children. 600,000 have fled to neighboring countries. And trapped in the middle of those, over 5 million civilians. Two of whom, as we saw on a recent news bulletin, are two old ladies trapped in the bottom of a basement flat who can't go out because they're in the middle of a war zone, or at least they couldn't before the ceasefire because they're in the middle of a conflict zone. Their pensions stopped with virtually no money to live on, eking out a living, trying to survive. What kind of world do we live in where two old ladies are virtually imprisoned in a basement flat, eking out a living on a bit of bread and water? We need saving from a world where we like to kill each other. You could say, well, actually, all we need is to get rid of those nasty people who like to kill others. So get rid of the Russians, Putin, and then we'll be okay, won't we? But is it that simple? The Russians will be saying, well, get rid of those Ukrainians and those British and Americans and Obama and Cameron, and then we'll be okay. It's not quite that simple. Who's going to decide who we get rid of? As Susanna was mentioning earlier, how are you going to decide who to punish? And one Russian man wrote something once quite helpful here about 60 years ago. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "The line which divides good and evil doesn't go between the Ukraine and Russia or between England, Britain and the rest of the world. It goes right through the center of the human heart. The line which divides good and evil goes right through the center of the human heart." What he's saying there is that you don't get good people and bad people. That's what Susanna was saying earlier. You get people who have both good and bad inside them. And the line goes right through the center of each of our hearts. Rachel and I have been watching a program called The Casual Vacancy, based on a book written by J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series. It's about a lovely, quiet, peaceful village with some nice, polite people and a council estate with some very different people with some big, obvious problems. One mum's a heroin addict. There's no dad in that family. A different family, the dad physically abuses his wife and kids. Very obvious sins. And yet there's just as much wrong, just as much that we would say to be wrong, in the households of these nice people. Unkindness, malice, greed, lack of compassion, arrogance, selfishness. I could go on. It's just that they do it all with a smile on their face and they get away with it. So maybe you don't think that you need saving. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. We all need saving from a world that's messed up, but we're messed up inside. We're broken on the inside. Most of all, we've rebelled against our Creator. And that's why we're broken on the inside. A bit like a toy that a child plays with and doesn't know exactly how it's supposed to work, how it's been designed to work. So he bends something back until it's broken and doesn't quite work how it's supposed to work. That's what we are. We don't live how we were designed to live by our Creator. We've bent something back the wrong way. We've rebelled against our Creator. We're broken and we need fixing. We've rebelled and we need peace. We need the penalty for our sins to be taken away. We need saving. And the good news is, God wants to save everyone. God wants to save everyone. That's what Paul's written in the letter that we're studying. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he's provided a way of being saved. Verse 5. Have a look at verse 5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind. Who? The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Now there are two important words in that sentence. Mediator and ransom. Mediator, someone who mediates between two people, between two parties. The conflict in the Ukraine needs a mediator between the Ukrainian government forces and the Russian backed rebel forces, or between the Ukrainian president Poroshenko and the Russian president Putin. The two sides are at war. They need a mediator. We're at war with God. We need a mediator, someone to represent us before God. Who are we going to choose? We need a human so they can represent us. The trouble is, everyone who's a human who's like us is too much like us. Broken on the inside. Rebels against God. Deserving the same punishment that we deserve. Except one man. The man Christ Jesus. Fully human, born of Mary, and so like us. And yet not like us. Not broken on the inside, not a rebel against God. And why not read one of the accounts of Jesus' life? We've got these Gospels of Mark, they're called, written by a guy called Mark, a friend of Peter, one of Jesus' good friends, who wrote a short biography of Jesus' life. We've got these at the back. They're free. Take them away. Read about Jesus. Susanna read about Jesus. She investigated it because she wanted to know the truth. I want to challenge you to read about Jesus because he's someone worth reading about. The man Christ Jesus, the only one qualified to mediate for us, to represent us. The second important word is ransom. See, Jesus didn't just go up to God and say, they're not that bad. They've done a few things that they're a bit ashamed of, you know. But just let them off and they'll do better the next time. In the same way that our justice courts can't let off the government who takes bribes, although sometimes they might, or the paedophile who abuses a child, or the thief who steals something, justice demands punishment. So God demands justice because he's a just God. And so this is what Jesus does. Verse 6, have a look. He gave himself as a ransom for all people. This is talking about Jesus' death. Jesus willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for all people. That's what Paul says here. His death paid the price of our rebellion against God. That's what ransom means. The price has been paid. Let me read you a passage from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. This is something that a prophet called Isaiah wrote. It's a few hundred years before Jesus was alive. But he's looking forward to when Jesus would come. And he's talking about what Jesus would do. Here's what he wrote. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. And yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, God says, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he'd done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering, his offspring, and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. Jesus, Isaiah says a few hundred years before he came along, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. By his wounds, we are healed. The Lord God laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. So we've seen that Paul writes that the one God wants all people to be saved through the one mediator. We're saved from our sin and from the punishment that we deserve because of the things that we've done wrong. And we're saved for a new life. So at the end of this letter, Paul writes, if you could just flick on a couple of pages to page 1194 and look at chapter 6, verse 12. Paul writes, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. See, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who have become Christians, we have been called to eternal life. We haven't just been saved from the punishment that we deserve, but we've been saved for eternal life, a new life. This life is spoiled. Sure, there are lots of good things in it. Family, friends, laughter, joy, kindness. But so much of it is spoiled because we're broken. Timothy and many of us here have been called to a new life, eternal life. The one God wants all people to be saved through the one mediator. Maybe you've heard the well-known story of the Indian story about the blind men and the elephant. Some blind men stumbled across an elephant. One of them grabs hold of his tail and says, it's a rope. Another one grabs hold of its trunk and says, it's a snake. Another one grabs hold of its leg and says, it's a tree trunk. Another one goes underneath its stomach and says it's a cave. Different blind men groping around in the dark all come to the same thing, but find something different. They all find a part of the truth, but not the whole truth. They've all come to the same elephant from different directions, from different ways, and they find a part of the truth, but not the full truth. And many people think that God's a bit like that. That we all come from different religions and different backgrounds to the same God from different directions, through different religions, through different ways. And we stumble across a part of the truth. And we say, look, it's a rope. Look, it's a snake. We've all come to the same God from different paths. But actually, and this has been pointed out by many people before, to be able to make that kind of judgment that we're all blind people coming at one thing from different directions, you've got to be able to stand back from the elephant and see the whole elephant. and see that there are lots of blind men coming at it from different directions, haven't you? You've got to be the one person who's not blind, who can see all of us groping around in the dark. And so the person who says that, you're all the same, you've all come to the same God from different paths, is being extremely arrogant. And what Paul says is that the one God wants all people to be saved, but he's provided one way of being saved. That's not a politically correct thing to say in our day and age, but it's what Paul says, it's what the Bible says. The only way that we can know God is if someone who isn't blind, who's got their eyes open, comes to us and shows us the elephant and shows us what it is. We need someone to come from God and show us the truth, teach us who he is. And we have that. God has sent his one and only son, Jesus, into our world, and he's shown us the truth. That is the one way for all people to be saved, for the one God. Christianity is not just for special people, the rich, the famous, the good, the educated. Christianity is for everyone, whether you're a prince or a pauper. But there's only one way of coming to God. If there'd been any other way, would God really have sent his own son, Jesus, to die on a cross? If there'd been any other way? He wouldn't, would he? So what is stopping you from accepting Jesus? What is stopping you from accepting the one God's way of being saved? Like Susanna, like me, like many of us here who have investigated all this, who have come and read about Jesus, what is stopping you from doing that today? Take one of these home and read it, because you need to know about Jesus and you need a relationship with God through Jesus. And throughout the course of the year, we run groups 3 or 4 times a year for people who want to investigate more about Jesus. And maybe you want to sign up to come along to one of these groups, a very informal atmosphere. We come around and we'll study a book like Mark in a very informal way. And you can ask any question you want. Maybe you want to come to one of those. You can fill in one of these "want to find out more" cards that you'll see at the back as well, and hand it in to me or someone on the welcome team. Don't go home without having investigated this and read about Jesus. I'm going to pray, and I think we've got a song to finish. Dear Father, we praise you that you are the one true God. We praise you that you have revealed yourself through Jesus Christ, who has come and shown us who you are and has provided a way of being saved by dying on a cross as our ransom. Father, I pray for anyone here who doesn't yet know you personally. I pray that you would answer their questions and that you would help them to understand who Jesus is and why he came. In Jesus' name, amen.